How's everyone doing?
Great.
Great?
Yep.
Great.
Fantastic?
Yep.
No, I don't. Sorry, darling. No.
God bless you this morning.
That needs to be higher.
I didn't know how to start this morning's message. I thought, I'll throw them a curve ball. See you guys. Bless you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll throw you a curve ball and say, I'm going to be bringing a brand new doctrine you've never heard before, and it's going to be radical. But that's not true. I don't know. So I'm not going to start with that. Praise God. On Friday night, I remember I mentioned that on Sunday, but Friday night last week, when we had our first inaugural Friday night meeting, there were four of us, and it was a very laid-back atmosphere. We talked, prayed. It was a good fellowship time. And then the peace of God just settled upon us. It was just an amazing, amazing feeling. And it's something that we all pursue. True? And we call it the presence of God. And we want His presence and His peace and His joy and His love. And that's basically what I want to talk about this morning. As I've shared before, I get a leading of the Lord on what to speak about, and it usually comes in very quick and very easy to recognize. It's usually just a word, and I know what He means, and then I just develop it from there. And there are times when I struggle. I don't know what. And this week was like that. I struggled. I just had no word. I had no anything. And one of the highlights that I, when I say highlights, probably a low light. One of the low lights I had this week was I was a little bit down because I didn't have work and I was in an environment that I wasn't happy to be in. And anyway, I felt like a caged lion. So I'm like, oh, anyone been there?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just sort of like, I wasn't pacing on the outside, but I was pacing on the inside. And I'm like, I'm out of here, I want to be doing something. You know, anyone know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sharing with Gabby, we were here on Wednesday, and I'm sitting there, we're just talking about different things, and I'm just sharing, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm a real caged lion. And so she goes, why? Well, I don't know why. Well, I figured it out since then. I'm just saying I know why now, but at the time it didn't make sense to me. And then on top of all that, I said, to add to the frustration, I really don't have any idea what God wants me to speak about on Sunday, but this was like Wednesday afternoon. And Thursday didn't help. Thursday was another bad day for me in circumstances. And so here I am, like a caged lion, plus I don't know what I'm going to speak on, and I'm like, God, what's going on here, you know? And so Gabby goes, well, why don't you talk about that? About being a caged lion. And I thought, okay, how do I do that? I mean, that's something that everyone can relate to. And so I just was praying about it. And I was working on my sermon on Friday evening. And I sat there and I prayed and I had my Bible and I had my notes and I'm sitting there and it's zero. Like, I mean, zero. How would you feel in a situation like that?
Frustrated.
Maybe a little bit nervous, maybe a little bit upset. And I was, but because I've spoken a number of times, I thought, okay, I know I can trust God. He will come through. So there was that element of trust. And then almost all of a sudden, the four points that I want to cover this morning came out, and it was on the topic of peace, and that word peace came out a number of times this morning in the prayer time and in the singing and all the rest of it in the prayer time about peace. So that's the introduction of how we got here this morning about the message. And like everything else, I hope it's going to be as big a blessing to you as what it was to me and is to me. One thing about this message is that I could talk about it for the next 4 months and never really give it a full treatise that it deserves. And the four points that I'd like to tackle this morning, very generally, one is peace with God. Number two is peace with self. Number three, peace with others. And number four, peace with our situation. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the word that you've brought to me to share this morning. It didn't come without a struggle, but once it came, it flowed. And I pray, Lord God, that it flows as I deliver it this morning. And I pray that every heart be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Peace with God. I was thinking about Adam and Eve in the garden. And, you know, God created them and he had fellowship with them. And there was peace in the kingdom. You never see any kind of mention of upset or trouble or worry or lack or anything like that, because there was, everything was done, everything was set up, everything was in a good position, yeah? So God did not have to hound Adam about anything. He just said, look, don't do this one thing. The rest was all good. And so, if it was like heaven on earth, it was so perfect, it was, the relationship was just like God intended it to be, then there is something that God has in him that he wants to share with his creation, but his creation messed it up. So then we know that Adam fell, and we had the whole situation about sin entering the world, and then all this trouble came. And you look at, you know, the Old Testament with some, talk about dry places earlier, definition of dry places. There's a lot of issues in the Old Testament where there's trouble, there's lack, there's death, there's suffering, there's droughts, there's all this terrible stuff, and yet God still comes through and still looks after people in the midst of all of that. Right? And in the Old Testament, they talk about peace, and you know, I'm sure you've heard sermons about shalom, you know, peace. And the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, they talk about peace as being shalom. And shalom's not just, well, have a calm, blessed day. It talks about being whole, made the plague healed, made strong, delivered, you know, and all of those things. So it's a bringing together of all the good things so that you become one whole, total person at peace. Make sense? But they're saying it as a to come, as a futuristic, a something in the future. You know, shalom, that God, peace of God would be upon you, that you would be healed. You see what I'm saying? I'm getting up to the point that it's something that is projected into the future. But in the New Testament, it's a little bit different. We no longer have that issue of shalom, of in the future. We have, well, I can't think of the Greek word now, but In the New Testament, we have a word that has got the root word of joined together, made one, made whole. And it talks about it in the sense of past tense. And that's the distinction between the two, is that shalom tends to wish it upon you, and the New Testament word declares it already upon you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have is that we now have peace. We're not looking for it. We're not trying to find it. We're not out there trying to figure out what it is and how to get it. We already have it. Strong's Concordance states, and I really like this little summation, it says, according to a conception distinctly peculiar to Christianity, it says, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Did I read that okay?
Mm.
Did you understand? I'll read it again, just to get, because the words are not the sort of words that I would normally use. It says, the tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, of whatsoever sort that is. Now I had some circumstances that were not very favourable, and they kind of upset the apple cart. Can you relate, Peter?
Mm-hmm. No.
We've gone through some issues with the house and all the rest of it.
Praise God, that's over. It's over. It's
yeah.
finished this week. Yep.
Yeah. It is over.
Mm.
But the point is that it upsets the peace.
Mm.
True?
Mm, true.
Yeah.
And the issue of peace is something that it, I find it difficult to get words out to say the things that I'm seeing inside. Is once the relationship with God the Father was broken, peace was broken. And so mankind is trying to find peace. Now, there are people out there right now that are doing all sorts of things to find peace. You know, you can think of a million of them. You know, they're doing drugs because they're unhappy. They're having relationship after relationship to try and find source of that satisfaction. They're doing meditation. They're doing, I mean, you name it, people are trying to go after peace. You know, somebody once said, if you could bottle it, you'd make a fortune. You know, if you could bottle peace and sell it, even if you sold it for 50 cents, you'd be a multi-trillionaire, you know, because that's what people are after. And yet we as Christians have it. My concern is that we don't realize what we actually have.
Amen.
And so we think we don't have it because we go by feelings.
Mm.
And because our feelings say, oh, you don't feel at peace, at rest, you must not have peace. So we have to pursue it. Or we have to pray for it.
Mm.
Or we have to pray and fast over it. Or we have to have someone come lay hands on us and say, you know, here's peace for you today. That's my concern. And there are lots of reasons why that may be the case, but the number one root cause of it is that if we don't realize that we have peace with God, we're not going to have peace in life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know that I'm okay with God, I'm okay. We're cool. I'm okay with God. He's okay with me. I have peace with God. If I don't know that, I'm going to be struggling. Because there's always going to be something on the inside of me that says, you're not quite right. There's something not quite right. And so we're going to have upset. So the number one issue that we really need to resolve is that we have peace with God. You have peace with God if you have Jesus in your life. I've had Jesus in my life for 43 years. And in the whole 43 years, I've had peace. But I didn't always know it. I didn't always stand in it, but I always had it. Because one of the things that I've realized, and this is an experience, and I'm not going to preach experience over the Word of God, but it confirms what the Word of God is saying, is that at any moment in those 40-something years, whether I was upset, downset, left set, right set, doesn't matter what I was, I could stop and I could come into His presence and experience peace. The peace was never taken from me. God had never removed it. He paid too high a price to give it to me. You know, the Annunciation in Luke 2:14, we hear it at Christmas time. Peace and goodwill toward men. You know, there's that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing? It said, God and man reckons, and holy God and righteous, whatever it is, a man, sinful man reconciled. Right? The moment that Jesus was born, peace had come into the earth. It was become available. Amen? Jesus, one of his names in Isaiah is what?
Peace.
The Prince of Peace. In Ephesians 2:14-18, it says, He is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. We are reconciled in Christ. We're reconciled in Christ with peace through the blood of His cross. That's in Colossians. You and I are at peace with God. Can you say that? I'm at peace with God.
I'm at peace with God.
God is at peace with me.
God is at peace with me.
He's not angry with you. He's never angry with you. I hear stuff like this a lot, you know. God is angry. God is disappointed. God is not disappointed in you. If you've come to Christ, He's not disappointed in you because that's really all He asks. Once you come to Christ, you've been appointed and you're not disappointed. God's not fed up with you. How many times you feel like, oh man, how many times have I got to repent of this one thing? God must be so fed up with me. No? Am I the only one? I've often thought God was fed up with me. You're not on bad terms with God. Doesn't matter how big a sin you committed or how nasty you feel like you've been, if you're in Christ Jesus, good terms with God. You and I, we are one spirit with the Lord. One spirit with the Lord, He is in us. You know, we don't need to go and find Him anywhere. Do you realize that? You don't have to go anywhere to find Him. He is right here. You and I can't add to or take away from peace. God's done it all at the cross. You know, He didn't come and consult with us and said, okay, I'm going to be sacrificing my son at a certain point in time, but I'd like you to prepare a list of things that you would like me to include. He didn't do that. He included everything. I mean, literally everything, to the point where there's nothing we can do to add to or take away from it. Is that true?
True.
We're only called to believe. We're called to believe what He's done and then live what we believe. That's all we're called to do. Which leads us into peace with self. If you don't know that you've got peace with God, you're going to trouble being at peace with yourself. I mean, we've talked about how you can get into turmoil. And there was a situation, just by way of example, there was a situation at work when I was working for the sign company down here in Kirrawee, and the manager asked me, the production manager asked me to stay back for about an hour or so to help him get through these jobs. And one job that he allocated to me was to put these signs on the side of this American-style ute. And so the artwork was laid out, I was given the stuff, I cut it on the machine, get it right ready, and I went and stick it on the side of the car. And the owner, the boss, must have been having a very bad day that day, because I ended up being the brunt of his abuse. He came in when I was halfway through and started reading me the riot act as to why I shouldn't even be a sign writer and what kind of a lousy job that I was doing, and he's just carrying on about all sorts of things, and I'm just standing there like a stunned mullet. The natural man in me felt like telling him what he could do with his job. You know, I could have said, here's my knife, here's my tools, you finish it yourself if you're not happy with what I'm doing. Here I am on the inside thinking, I'm staying back as a favour to the production manager because he asked me nicely. I didn't really have the time to stay, but I had other things that I wanted to do. But I said, okay, well, he really does need me, I'll compensate and I'll do what I can for him. The boss doesn't know that, and I'm thinking to myself, you're abusing me, you're running me down here, and you don't even realise that I'm just not staying back here because I need the money or because I love you so much. I'm here, I'm trying to do this guy a favour, right? He's been good to me and I'm doing my part. Anyway, he got all worked up and I'm just minding my own business and just doing what I can. I think I answered him in a bit of frustration, and I said, you know, he said that there was a dot missing on the eye and there were creases and stuff, and I'm like, you know, we're talking minuscule issues, like seriously. Anyway, so I said, look, forget about all those issues right now. I said, I'm working on it, the job's not finished, and I said, those things will be sorted. So even though I wasn't at 100% peace in that moment, in that situation, I knew that there was the Spirit of God in me, and then I could handle the situation. So if you could put percentage on peace, you know, 100% would have been like, ooh, I'm all good. Or would have been maybe at 90%, a little bit riled, but mostly good. If I was 100% in the flesh, I probably would have lost my job that day, because I would have definitely told him off. Look, why does this happen? The Bible says that that Satan is like a roaring, raging lion that is pacing throughout the earth looking for whom he can devour. True? Mm-hmm. So if ever you're feeling like a caged lion, you're pacing around trying to figure out what to do, you've got to realize that it's the devil that's motivating you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have peace. And he doesn't want you and I to have peace either. So he knows your buttons. He knows what gets you happening. You realize that? He knows your buttons. Yeah? I don't know how many buttons you've got, but yours are very steady sort of guy, as I know, as far as I've ever. There are certain things that will set you off, true? Don't you dare talk about that, because that really is my hot button. But that's what he wants to do. He wants to mess with your hot button, so to give up your peace, make you feel condemned, makes you feel like you're separated from God, lose your peace. Am I making sense here?
Yep.
Can you imagine going through the whole day and not being glad about anything? Have you experienced a day like that?
Yep.
Have you experienced 10 minutes like that? How many of us want to live in that 24/7? Always. Absolutely. And it's possible. It absolutely is possible. I've got a whole bunch of scriptures. I'll just give you the high points of each one. If you want to make a note, you can. If not, read the whole thing anyway. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. So we've got Jesus' peace. That's pretty powerful. You and I have his peace. Romans 15:13. We are filled with all joy and peace. We are filled with all joy and peace. In other words, he didn't give us 10%. He said, you've got a little bit, now make it grow. He said, you are filled. Romans 15:33. God of peace is with you and me. The God of peace is with you. That's one of his names. So if the God of peace is with you, then peace is with you. It's pretty deep stuff, isn't it? Romans 8:6. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I think it's in Isaiah. That's coming up. I'll give it a secret. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Isaiah 26:3. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on
him.
On him. So is it possible? It's the question. Is it possible that if you're not in peace, your mind's not on him? Just the question. Because if your mind's on him and he's the God of peace, he's not going to rile you. In fact, I even challenge the notion that he's going to say, but what about that sin right there? What are you going to do about that one? You know, if God accused you of one sin, he could be accused of taking away your peace because he's making you focus on something that's not of him. God is not the accuser, amen? Philippians 4:7, I wrote that one sideways, so I'll read it sideways. Philippians 4:7, he gives us the peace that passes all understanding that will keep your heart and your mind. Peace will keep your heart and your mind. It says, watch your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And if you've got peace and life in your mind, what kind of day do you think you have? How many people have had issues with somebody pushing in when you're driving down the highway, and then you see them in the mirror and they're like five cars back, they can see that there's a parked car, but they'll just... What feelings does that conjure up in you?
Peace. Not.
Peace of rock.
I'm say, you lie. That's the desired response, yes.
The P-I-E.
I practice at this. The Bible says to not stand in the way of the wicked. So this person is being wicked, right?
Yep.
So what do you do? The natural man says, no, you're not. God says, let him in. That's okay.
Let him in. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And right, sometimes it's these little examples that can tell you where your heart is at.
Mm-hmm.
Does it rile you? And if so, why does it rile you?
Mm.
Because you're all about self. You're about, oh, this is about me. I've got the right of way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
what if it was like, it doesn't matter? Yep. Does it really matter?
No.
I often laugh because it's happened to me countless times. Like, I'm driving in my lane, whatever lane that happens to be, usually the middle, and you see somebody coming. And then about, 5 minutes later, you pull up at the traffic light and you're like,
that's right.
You guys know Sydney traffic. Can you imagine what kind of life you would have just if you had the peace of God 24/7?
We do.
It's possible. It's in us. you know, even to get this message from God, if I'd have gone into my room and I was pacing up and down, God, you got to give me something for tomorrow. Oh, God, you got to give me something for tomorrow. What am I going to talk about? I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Please, will you please talk to me? God, open up the Bible. What are you saying? Let's do a Bible search. God, come on. This is a big deal. You know, I'm rostered to preach. Come on. I know, I can preach about... What about now? I talked about the last... Could God get a word in edgewise to tell me anything? So, you know what I did, right? I did the opposite. I sat down on the couch. I closed my eyes and said, I'm just going to wait on you. I'm just going to be at peace. I'm just going to love you. I'm going to worship you. I'm just going to tell you that I love you. I know you're going to come through. I don't know what you're going to say or how it's going to come. I just know you will. And I must have sat there. I think maybe I nodded off for a few minutes. I must have sat there for like half an hour. But does it matter? I was at peace and I was enjoying his presence. Amen? And the devil hates it because he doesn't have peace, so he wants you and I not to have it. We need to live in it constantly. Live in peace constantly. If you agree with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, holding on to peace is very fragile because we can so easily let go of it. And we've just proven that by agreeing with the fact that a person cutting us off in traffic can cause us to lose our peace. But we need to be aware of what it is that we're giving up and why. So it's fragile. We need to hold on to it. The devil is always after it. He'll do just about anything for us and to us to make us give it away. We often neglect it. We just run by feelings and by the circumstances. Now that's just so true, you know. I just don't feel the presence of God. I feel all upset. I'm angry. You know, some people just live in anger constantly because of unresolved issues, you know. So there's no peace because we're angry. And God speaks to us through peace. So, you know, if you really want to hear from God, I mean, so many of us say, oh, God, speak to me. Oh, I need to hear your voice. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want to say to me? If we don't have peace, he can't get in there. Because when we have communion with him, we have peace, and then he can speak to us. God reveals himself in it. He says, in Scripture, he says, be still and know. Be still and know what? That I am God. But if you're going to be still and know, that means he is still. He's not wild. God's not up there chewing on his proverbial fingernails. He's not scratching his head trying to figure out what to do. He's not flicking through books and trying to figure out how to answer that problem. Like, you know, he's at peace. He's the God of peace. Are you at peace? You can be. He wants us to be. I feel like we're at peace right now. Yeah?
Yes.
I know I'm making you think of things that aren't peaceful as a contrast, but we're at peace right now. Peace wants to direct your life. How many of you had decisions to make and you were in total turmoil about making that decision? Just as an example, I mean, how many houses did you guys look at before you rented the one you're in?
Few.
And I guarantee you that 100% of the ones you didn't take, you didn't have peace about them for whatever reason. You know? And even though you might have said, look, God, I'm ready to settle for just about anything because I'm desperate in many ways. Even if you said, oh, this one is, it's good enough, but I don't have peace about it. You don't do it. True?
True.
Well, how many times have you gone the opposite and said, oh, this looks really good, so all the numbers stack up, and yeah, we'll do that. And then afterwards you go, I didn't really have peace about that decision, and things didn't really work out too good. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Very practical stuff, really. Where am I today? Peace wants to direct our lives. I think it's in James, or probably in 1 Peter, I didn't get this one, but it says that the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure, peaceable, and what else?
Considerate.
Yeah. So if you want to go to God and you want to ask him for something, for wisdom, he'll come with peace. True?
Mm-hmm.
And I just put in there as an end, is that peace brings you good health. You reckon the stress and worry is high on the percentage of causing all sorts of sickness.
Absolutely.
And disease.
Absolutely.
So
yep.
People are always angry, uptight, high strung, always in trouble, always worried. They tend to be sickly, yeah?
Yep.
People that are calm and peace gives the immune system that freedom to do what it's supposed to do. Peace is good. You agree? Peace is good?
Amen.
And then we go to peace with others. Romans 12:18. Live peaceably with others. It almost sounds like a command. Live peaceably with others.
Lord, it is. Love your neighbors.
Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. So even if you just want to make peace within yourself, you're going to be blessed. Amen? Ephesians 4:3. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the unity of spirit is dependent on peace. So again, it's the spirit of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Be at peace amongst yourselves. I mean, I'm grateful for this church because there is, you can sense the peace of God here because the love of God's here. People are submitted and trusting in Him. It's really good. Hebrews 4:14. Follow peace with all men. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? You know, you can have people that are riled up and they're going looking for a fight. And if you're at peace and you try to be at peace with them, you diffuse that, don't you? There's plenty of proverbs that talk about a kind word turns away wrath and things like that. True? Of course it is. It's great. There are so many more verses about living with and relating to other people. I believe one of the main reasons there are relational problems in the church and outside is the lack of peace in self.
Yep.
Mm. You know? If you are at peace with God and you know that He's looking after you, He's healed you, He's delivered you, He's saved you, He does not angry with you, there's a sense of relief. You've got a problem? Come on, I'll help you. I'm not going to put burdens on you. I'll help take burdens off you because the peace that I have is so great, I want you to enjoy it as well. So you pass it on to other people. True?
Yeah.
You should. You want to do that. You want to be a peacemaker. You want to be putting peace on people, or in the case of a Christian, you don't want to put peace on them. You want to say, look, this peace on the inside is draw it out of them. Not that they don't have it, so they don't know how to use it, or they're not relying on it. And once we know that we are in good relationship with God, we've got peace with Him, we're not struggling with the bigger things. We're not struggling with the world. We're not struggling with the heavens. We're not struggling with the universe. And that's a big popular thing, you know, all the stars are lined up in the universe. But for us, the stars were lined up. All the stars were lined up. And they've been lined up ever since Jesus died and was resurrected. All my ducks are in a row, as so they say. Circumstances might not reflect that, but the spiritual does. I'm one with Him, He's one with me. God is peace. God and I are one. You and God are at peace. In Christ Jesus, you're at peace. And then you're not wanting your own. The Bible says that consider that others better than yourself. Looking after other things more than your own, because you don't need anything. You're not looking for affirmation. You're not looking for someone to give you something. I heard this quote, which I think is interesting. I don't know who first spoke it, and I'm not saying this about me personally, but it's the me, okay? So you can put the me as yourself. If you have a problem with me, you have a problem. It doesn't matter if I'm good to you or bad. Say, like, in reverse, say that, let's say you have a problem with me. Even if I'm a bad person and I did something nasty to you and you have a problem with me, you have a problem because you're taking what I'm doing on board and it's affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not at peace. That's your problem.
It's very true.
About a year and a half ago, a year and a half ago was the reconciliation. About 3.5 years ago, we went over to my daughter's house in Canberra, and we were kind of in good relationship with her, but it was tense. And without going into too much detail, but my sister left ball and there was a big upset in the family and it caused division and sides were taken, and it turned out that my daughter in Canberra, she took sides with my sister, and we took sides with Paul, rightly or wrongly, and in hindsight, Paul did the wrong thing too, but we took sides with Paul because we perceived him to be the victor, and my sister was the assailant. She abused the marriage and left, and whatever. Anyway, it turns out that my daughter sided with my sister, which was not the side that we were on. So when we went to Canberra, she was telling us this and this and this, and Bestman were trying to set the record straight and say, no, that's not true. Bestman was very much there when the whole process happened, the whole thing broke, and she was put quite badly hurt by the whole thing, and some of you know the story, but it turns out that we're trying to convey the truth as we perceive it at the time to our daughter, and they were both, yeah, but you, and you, and you, this bony thing was in our face, and like, but wait, you know, no, we don't believe that, if I were you, oh no, and it was just getting worse and worse, and like it really got heated, to the point where we literally had to get up and walk out. So we got up, and I even tried to have a final word of peace, and even that was cut off, like, I don't ever want to see you guys ever again. That's when we're heading into the car and we drove off. I was completely at peace. I was disturbed in my emotions, but I was at peace because I knew that God, I knew the truth, I knew where God was, and the whole thing was just completely explosive in the emotional. But the Lord had given me two dreams the two nights before we went to see them. In both dreams, God told me that it was not going to end well. But we'd already committed to the appointment, we'd already committed to be there, so I couldn't say, well, you know what, Melissa, I had two dreams, it's not going to work out well, so I'm not even going to bother coming and showing up. I mean, that just wouldn't have made sense. So we showed up in my own heart, knowing, the best thing I knew, because I shared the dream with her as well, so we were both not surprised when we got the kind of tongue lashing that we had. So what am I saying? We have situations that can be as simple as a car cutting us off in traffic and we can lose our peace. Or we can have a major family upheaval that will just cause division and hurt and cut. And, you know, we're talking bad stuff. But we've got peace that can carry us through it all.
Yeah.
And as I said again, I don't think I handled it with 100% peace. I might have been 80%. But I know that I did not allow the emotions to rise up for me and to go to the same level of abuse in counter-abuse to what I was copying. Does that make sense?
Mm.
I wasn't trying to justify myself. Now, fast forward that about 3 years. The whole time we were praying for them, the whole time I was not using that offense against them. I just thought, the law says that it doesn't keep a record of wrong, but we kept our distance because we felt there was no point. It was, you know, it has to be a two-sided relationship, true?
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't. It was okay from us, but it wasn't reciprocated. Come Christmas time, 18 months ago, I had a bit of extra money because of the things that, you know, would work. I had some good income. So I sent them $500 as a Christmas gift. And it was like there's five of them in the family. So it was basically $100 each. You know? And I just sent it just because of the love that was in it. You know, no strings attached. I didn't say I'm buying the relationship back or I'm bribing you. I mean, those thoughts came to mind. I don't know. I just love them. I even said to them afterwards, look, I sent you that money because if we were in good relationship, I would have spent at least that much on you and the kids anyway. True?
Mm.
So I thought, well, this is not money that I need to hold on to. I'll just give it to them as a blessing and leave it at that. Well, that act of generosity ended up being the catalyst or the trigger that brought the relationship back into a healed state. Right? But again, the point that I'm trying to make is that as a Christian, I have something on the inside of me that wants to make peace. And it's that same thing as in you. Now, Ken, you know, you share a little bit about stuff with your son. You have this desire in your heart to make peace, not just with him, which obviously is, you know, same, but you also would like to see peace between him and his wife, true? Yeah. So we have this peace that motivates us to do God's kind of work. And that's why I believe this is talking about having peace with others. You know, I have a peace in my heart that wants to bring reconciliation, that wants to bring healing, that wants to bring blessing. It doesn't always work out, but if I know my heart's right, then I can stand before God with a pure conscience, true? last point. How much time have I got to take it? Sorry. I didn't even have a last point. Actually, I didn't elaborate on the last point. The last point is about peace with our circumstances. I'm not quite sure how to express it, because I'm thinking of that scripture where Paul said, I've been in lack and I've been in abundance, but the one thing I've learned is to be content in all things. And he said, the godly contentment is great gain. True? I don't know what the reference is, I didn't write it down, but you know the scripture. And I believe that's what's happening, is that I am in a circumstance that I'm in right now, and I can pick fault, and I can find things in it that I don't like or I think should change. But I need to be at peace about where I'm at. Because I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with myself, I'm hopefully at peace with everyone around me. I don't try and create trouble, and I try and fix the trouble there is, so I'm a peacemaker. And I'm not railing and carrying on about my circumstances. And some of you know our circumstances are not always rosy, but that's not the point. God is in control of my destiny, right? So if I can put my trust in God, it says in the beginning when I read that scripture, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, because I have a confidence in God. So if I have my trust in Him, then I can trust Him to sort these things out. And I've often used the scripture about behold the fowl of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store in barns, but God feeds them. And a lot of times I feel like I'm that, because I go out, I work, I get money, which is the seed for the day, and then it goes, and then there's nothing left over, and you go out and do it again. And that's, to me, that's not a good way to live. I prefer to have lots of money in the bank, have my house paid off, have a good car, have time to go on holiday. I'd love to have that, but I don't. But I'm not going to be writing at God and saying, God, why are my circumstances this bad? And your word says, I'm not at peace. His word says abundance, and His word this and true. But if I'm going to get worked up over it, I'm out of line. I need to be at peace. He'll work it out. Is that true?
Yeah.
And you can put your own circumstances in. Oh, I'm not happy with this in my life. You know, this is broken down. That's not, you know. But God is good. I trust Him. I'm at peace with my circumstances. It's not. I'm not saying that you just give up and just take it and whatever happens, happens. You know, you pray, you seek God, you want better things. But whilst you're waiting for the better things, you're at peace with the circumstances you're in. Now, for instance, I honestly do not like, I do not enjoy living down there and then travelling up here every week, sometimes on a daily basis. I don't enjoy that. I would rather just be down there. But I'm at peace because I've put this before God many times and nothing has changed. Well, in its due season, at the right time, whatever change needs to happen will change. True? So I need to learn to be at peace with my circumstances. And that's my message. Done and dusted. Did you get something from that?
Yeah. Thank you.
Seriously, what you guys are doing is brilliant. I want you guys to experience the peace. And you know, it's good to be in a church environment where we're all doing good things, we're saying positive things, we're loving on each other, encouraging, all that. But when you walk out that door, 100% of the peace you have right now is going with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be going with you, or He. He will be going with you when you go to bed, when you're driving, when you wake up in the morning. You know, it's just the best thing, absolutely the best thing. And if ever you feel like you're riled, right in the midst of it, just be reminded, why am I upset? I've got the peace of God in me. And just say, God, I step into that peace right now and watch Him come through. Watch it come through.
Amen. Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your peace.
Amen.
Lord, I'm just so grateful what you've done for us and in us and through us. And that, Lord, the only thing we need to do is to change our minds from the way we used to think to the way you want us to think. We can think that we don't have peace because of our situation or our emotions or whatever, but the truth is we already have your peace. We just need to step into it. So, Father, I pray that every one of us would not only go in peace, but that we would be aware that the peace goes with us wherever we go.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.